And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode number 40, and I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart,
known across the internet as Casual Terror,
and Henry.
What's going on, people? This is Knox.
And we've got a great show for you tonight, if you're on the live stream or whenever you're listening. This is coming out a day later than normal, but life got in the way, and you know.
Yes, yeah, so do tell us that story, because I think that's worth telling.
Just angry customer at where I was unofficially working, but now I am working there officially, and police had to be called in, and 3 hours after we closed, I was able to go home, so there was no way I could get out and podcast when there's police.
See, you should have walked to him. I've got a podcast tonight. I'm one of the geeks for the win. Oh, I love you guys. You should go right now.
We'll give you a full police escort. Catch all the red lights.
And see, now all you have to do is make an Android and an iPhone game called Angry Customer, and you'll be a millionaire.
Nice. But see, Stuart, I don't want to abuse my power, because with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to do that. I just had to. But I guess to jump into our first topic, Avatar Quest, which we, before we started officially recording, or before we started the show, we were having a debate on whether this game was something that Stuart had played.
And it is not.
It is not.
Very similar.
So there's another game that's very similar to this, called Avatar Adventure, but this one is Avatar Quest.
Yeah, and there is an Avatar Quest on Xbox Live Indie Games, but that's not this one. This one is going to be coming out sometime in the near future. They haven't given an actual hard date for it, but there's a trailer for it posted in the show notes if you want to check it out. But this game looks awesome, to say the least. I mean, of course, it's an indie game, so it's not going to have like the top-notch, you know, shaders and bitmapping quality of like your Xbox Live Arcade game, but I mean, nonetheless, I mean, this game is cheap and it has co-ops up to 6 players. It even has a RPG level creator that you can share with your friends and with the community. Of course, it's an indie game, so it's no achievements, but who cares?
And it has Horde mode.
Right, exactly. And shout out to AA, who bought his Dragon Armor on Xbox Live Marketplace, Avatar Marketplace. Now he gets an opportunity to actually use that armor. So all you people who bought like little mystical armors and stuff like that, you got a place to go and use that armor. And I mean, from what the trailer shows, you have power. You have different powers and everything. You could choose your different class. It's not like a deep and robust RPG, but I mean, for what it is, it's something that's kind of fun, slapstick. Jump in with your avatars, put on your Halo suit or whatever you got or whatever, and just have fun, man. I mean, it's a basic RPG, but it looks fun. And this is an indie game, and I mean it looks great to me.
Yeah, and I've actually played a couple indie games, and this is probably like the best looking indie game I've played.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, and it's got single player, co-op, multi or horde mode basically. And I'm reading 10 hours single player, 10 hours for an indie
hours.
Game, and that's going to be, what, less than $5 or less?
Yeah, and that's not including the amount of levels that you can make, too. I mean, so, you know, or download. So, like, if your friend makes, like, I'm pretty sure the community is gonna go wild with it. I mean, you're going to have people that are going to be making Dragon Age levels in this game and stuff like that, and you know, making different quests from Zelda and stuff like that. I mean, so you can download content, and I mean, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be amazing. I think if the community kind of latches onto it and just gives it a chance, I think it'll be fun.
Yes, and
definitely.
And remember, Henry said the one up right now is not this one.
Right.
Is it spelled the same, or
Yeah, it's spelled the same. It says Avatar Quest, but there's no, I guess there's no regulations, of course, because it's an Xbox Live indie game, so you can have the same name as something else. You just kind of have to sift through the mist, I guess. But this is a different one. Like I said, you can go to the link in the show notes. We'll post it up when we post the show. You can check it out. But this one, I mean, you'll know the difference because the other one is like a puzzler game or something like that. It looks almost like Dr. Mario or something. That one's not it.
Oh, I've seen it,
like,
yeah.
Like Puzzle Quest.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so definitely looks great. Check the link out if you've been wanting a great game, great multiplayer game that's cheap and you can use your avatars with.
Here's something that kind of confuses me, though. I thought, like, back when, like, the avatars were introduced and, you know, people were making indie games with the avatars in them, I thought it was, like, against, you know, the terms of service to use the avatars in a harmful way, like them like, fist fighting each other or getting hurt in any way.
Well, no, are they bleeding actually, or something? I don't think.
Well, but they're getting hit still by enemies.
Yeah, it's like little powers there, but I think Microsoft was just more adamant about not having any type of decapitation or like William said, you know, any type of bleeding or...
So no Mortal Kombat with your avatars.
Right, exactly.
Unless it's green blood.
Spit.
Sweat or spit or whatever, yeah. But, yeah, because, I mean, they've got that, what's it called? The
Avatar Kung Fu?
Well, no, I mean the actual Xbox Live game, the Crash Course, where you're getting hit by stuff and falling, and, you know, so you can, your avatar can get hit, but it's like cartoony hit, not like, you know, graphic, you know, like Henry said, decapitation and, you know, stuff like that. Can't just shoot a shotgun at someone else's avatar or anything like that, I'm guessing, but as far as like cartoony, you know, violence, I guess, maybe, but I don't know.
Comic mischief is okay.
Yeah.
Yep, there we go. I guess we can move on to the game that you couldn't stop playing until we kind of made you stop. Fortress Craft.
Yeah, this is Minecraft for the Xbox. What? So it's awesome.
That's exactly what it is.
Except, well, there are some differences, though. You can't actually build any. Like you have an axe. I have a pickaxe. I've yet to figure out how to use the damn thing. I just kind of hold it. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, the actual mining and like the resource mining and stuff like that. I can't remember the post or the articles. I was just Google searching some stuff, but the developer said that he kind of wanted to kind of streamline it for the console, I guess. I mean, he may have plans to update it later on, but they kind of streamline that stuff where you don't have to go mining for different elements and ore and things like that and then make something else. Because if you're not familiar with Minecraft, say for instance you have a stable piece of ground or whatever, then you ore the ground and then you make an element like wood. Okay, then you take those pieces of wood and then you combine those to make a table. And you combine those, and you break it down, and you can make a wooden sword or whatever. So it kind of streamlines all that stuff and just puts you in the meat of the matter where you can just create. It almost seems like it has unlimited assets because I was messing around with it and I was just putting blocks down and just messing around with stuff. And you can put as many assets as you want in the entire world. I mean, so it is streamlined, but you know.
Yeah, there was one time I just walked up to a spot and just looked straight down, just started digging a hole until my finger got tired. And then I was stuck, but, yeah.
Huh. I'd not gotten a chance to play it, but because of Xbox Live's awesome website, I now added the trial to my queue.
I will say this. There is a tab, like, in the main menu, like, future content, you know, future something, future plans, or yeah, future plans.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
and so that's where he has, you know, like, this is where, you know, if you pay, you know, you'll fund, you know, be able to craft and have minions and mine carts and, you know, stuff like that.
And it's chapter one.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, he has plans to do a whole lot more, but I think he's just kind of throwing it out there to see if it's going to kind of take hold to the Xbox Live community. I don't think it's going to set a wildfire like it did on PC and make $1 million, but
We should also mention this is not the guy who did Minecraft.
Right, it's not.
This is a different guy.
Different dude.
A different dude probably trying to reach a different different market because it's on the 360 and try to get the same appeal.
Right.
If he can make $1 million or however much Minecraft did, go power to you.
Yep. But I think it's cool that we're finally seeing, that's why I like supporting these indie developed games. Cause I mean, you got tons of games on indie. I've downloaded, I played a game with, I made a game with zombies in it.
Oh, I love that game. That song alone was worth the dollar.
Oh man, so fun. It was a dollar. What else? I downloaded this game called Kaleidoscope where, you kind of walk through the world as this little black, dot, person in the world or whatever, and you kind of walk through and you gain colors, and as you gain colors the music changes and adds colors to like the world. So that's some real innovative stuff in the indie space. We just have to support it as a community, and this stuff is really, really cheap. I mean, you can download, and everything has a trial version, so download it, check it out. I mean, of course they don't have achievements, but who cares? I mean, it's a fun game to play, especially the ones that have co-op and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Some are even just a dollar too. Defy Gravity, the one I did a review on, because the developers contacted me and gave me a free. I did it on the PC, but I bought it on the 360 just to support them, because it's only 80 points. That's only a dollar, and that was a really fun, well put together game.
Yeah, another thing I think too is in the indie space, if we, I mean, so many times we say vote with your wallet. I mean, but I think if we show Microsoft that the community loves these indie games and these, developers are doing well, then they may pull some of these games towards the Xbox Live space, and they may put achievements in them, or may give you more updates, or may make it look, prettier as far as graphics wise, because they'll have funding behind them. So we have a lot of power with what we have as far as the community, as far as the internet space, and as far as our money and what we put it towards. So, I think if we get behind, this incredible stuff that's being made by these developers on consoles, this is not PC stuff. This stuff is on consoles. So I just think it's awesome. And I think, we should just get behind it and support what we like.
And especially since, Microsoft, the space bucks, Microsoft's points, and sometimes things are priced weird and you're left over with. I know right now I currently have 480 Microsoft points. So, I could go out and buy some little game that's just 80 points, $5, I can buy an Xbox Live arcade game, or actually I'm going to buy the Noble Map Pack DLC for 400 points, and then I'll have 80 left over, so I can find a little indie game to, instead of it just sitting there and me glaring at it for, a long time till I put more points in.
Buying a fake T-shirt.
I will never buy Avatar clothes.
Don't say never.
Oh no, I've been a big supporter of no Avatar clothes. I've said that, and I will not.
Naked avatars will.
No, I just won't buy them. I'll earn them on games, or if they give it to me for free, yeah. But I've got tons of fake clothes that I earned from Left 4 Dead or Explosion Man or whatever else. But, that's a thing, because I know I would have like 80 points or 160 points left over for some stupid reason in the past, and I would just stare at it. I would just always come back to it and just glare at it, because it would just be there and there'd be nothing you could buy, and it would force you to, it would force. I guess that's why Microsoft did their whole another reason why they did points instead of just money, because it would drive you to add more stuff so you could use those points and it wouldn't go to waste. But now you can just buy an indie game for 80 points or 160 or whatever. So that's pretty cool, I think. So definitely check that out. Links in the show notes, of course. And next, I guess we got Your Shape.
Yeah, I've been playing Your Shape. I got it from Amazon. Came in the mail last week, and me and the wife have been having, I mean, so much fun, man. Like this game, I remember we were talking about on a previous podcast about the Biggest Loser demo that I demoed. Like this is night and day. Like this is as much innovation as far as the player mapping and as far as it, you know, scanning your body and actually knowing, you know, kind of adjusting to, you know, your workout style or even to your play style in this game. This is probably bar none one of the best Kinect games out there as far as it being a technological feat.
But I agree.
Yes, it is. I mean, the game is awesome. I mean, just kind of give you an idea. I mean, this, of course, is made by Ubisoft. And when you first boot it up, it scans your body, scans your height. You can map your weight. You can map. You get so many different options on what you want to do. Like they have different options where they start you off and they just ask questions. They say, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to tone up? Do you want to slim down? Do you want to just go up the stairs and not get winded? Do you want to, you know, increase your cardio? I mean, all these different type of options, and you can customize it whenever you want to and cater it to your workout style. I mean, the game, as far as the game itself, it reads you perfectly. You don't have to have that much space for it. Your play space is very, very wide. So if you kind of mess up or if you get tired and you're kind of flailing around, like it kind of helps you back into it. The commentator is real good. She kind of keeps you on pace, and it's just a lot of stuff to this game. You can even sign up on the Ubisoft website. I'll kind of keep you guys posted whenever we sign up. Me and my wife are gonna do like a little sign up thing, and we're gonna actually take the challenge. We're gonna see if this game is able to, you know, help you lose anything as far as weight is concerned. Her play style is a little bit different than mine. It maps you male, female. It even lets you pick your trainer. Do you want a male or female trainer? But the game as a whole is awesome. I mean, yeah, I can't say anything, yeah, I guess, better about it. But I mean, the game is great. I mean, you can probably pick it up on Amazon for $35, $40 or so, whatever. But the game is worth it. I mean, as far as it being a Kinect game, I'll probably give this game at least a 9. I mean, this game is awesome. They got DLC for it, which will be on sale in the sale. Yes, but I mean, I can't say anything better about this game. You guys got any questions on it?
Yes. What is your trainer, a male or female?
Oh, it's female, buddy.
Good answer. Good answer.
Well, yeah, I also have this game. This was, you know, when I bought the Kinect, I bought this game as well. You know, this was I've had a couple fitness games before, you know, for the Wii, and this was the only one to actually try to kill me.
Yeah. but it does it so subtly though, because it rewards you for doing everything. I mean you burn 100 calories, achievement. You burn 200, you know, achievement for that. You do the workout routines, achievement. I mean, like it keeps that carrot in front of you, and in the process you're actually helping yourself. Like I've been doing it for like a week now, and I even see an improvement in my cardiovascularness. Like I'll be messing around and messing with my son and going up the stairs and everything and playing outside and stuff like that. Like, and it really does make a difference because it gets you up and moving, but I never feel like it's a drag. Like, I don't feel like it's a workout because I guess it's because of achievements and I want to level up in everything I do. So
you achievement whore.
I know. Well, man, the game is genuinely fun though, because if you don't feel like doing your training stuff today, you can pick one of the workouts. They have two downloadable contents for free on Xbox Live. You can download the other trainer stuff, or you can choose to do some of the gym activities. It is multiplayer. You can do up to 4 rotating players if you want. Of course, 2 on each, and then you can rotate 4. But I mean, I'm surprised I never just picked this game up. I had plans to pick it up, but man, I mean, this game is awesome, man.
So you like can do 2 simultaneously?
Yeah.
2 at the same time?
Only on 2 of the training modes you can. But you can do 4. that you can do rotating. Oh, and here's another cool thing about it. Just so anybody won't get mixed up or whatever, you can actually choose your player skin. So you can choose if you're not comfortable, if you're not comfortable with your appearance, like you can just choose like the regular appearance where it kind of maps you out as like this big orange, green, purple, blue blob or whatever. Or you can choose to actually map a skin to where it actually shows you, you know, with all the colors and everything are all corrected, you know, in the world. So it makes it feel more realistic. But, the game adapts to you, and it's whatever you want to do. And you can change it at any time. If you need to slow it down, you can slow it down for, you know, your own personal reasons. If you need to speed it up because it's not doing enough for you, you can do that, too. But, I mean, the game is good. Like, me and my wife are walking around the house sore and, like, out of shape. But,
I've had those mornings waking up. Like, oh, God, my legs hurt.
Yeah,
I just played a game.
While you're doing it, you will lose track of time, and it is fun to play. Like, I mean, if you haven't gotten a Kinect, I would recommend this be right at the top of your list, along with Dance Central. I mean, it's an awesome game. It's good. I can't say anything else better about it. It's good. Go buy it. Pick it up.
And quick price, it's for pre-owned, it's $29.99 at GameStop, and brand new is $34.99.
Okay, cool.
Your Shaped Fitness Evolved?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess GameStop's having a really good sale for it. And we're about to freaking trade in our Wii because we never play it. I kept saying we don't need a Wii. You'll never play it. You'll never. And no one ever listens to me. No one ever listens to me. But then that's awesome because I always get to say, I told you so.
Yeah. Well, it's good for me because it's a Netflix box, so it kind of helps me out when I want to kick everybody out of my man cave. But
yeah,
that's about all we use it for.
We're probably gonna trade in the Wii this weekend to get Kinect because I've already had my mom say, you know, oh, what's with that Kinect again? Because I showed her all the videos and, you know, and she was like, we never play that. Maybe we should trade. Because I think she maybe saw the commercial for it or something. I don't know. Commercials always get them.
Because you got that Michael Jackson, the experience is coming out, too.
That's what she wants, I think. I think that's what she wants the most.
And my little cousins my little brother, like, they will run around the house cheating the game. Like, they'll be just slanging the controller. They'll be laying down. I'm like, y'all some lazy dudes, man. Get up. And, like, they'll be just slanging the controller, laying down on the floor. I'm like, oh, come on, man. But with Kinect, because it maps your whole body, like, it's impossible to cheat it. Like, it's just awesome, man.
Oh, definitely. I'm getting that Michael Jackson game for the Kinect because I want to learn how to do the Thriller dance.
with Kinect games, if you look on the back, you know, where it says, you know, like, you know, two player co-op, you know, downloadable content, blah blah blah. It also says activity level, standing or sitting.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
So you know what kind of game, you know, like you can sit and play this game or you have to stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Your Shape, you can actually control the menu while you're sitting, but you have to kind of lean forward for it to read your arms. Mm-hmm. But of course, I mean, it's an exercise game, so it requires you to get up. I mean, of course. So, but yeah. Oh, and the cool thing about that game too is that when you walk away from it, it automatically pauses it and it saves your progress in that specific space. And when you come back in and read your body again, and you just hit resume, and you're back in the game.
Oh, like that's a cool feature. That should be like integrated.
Does the same thing if you pass out. And you forward out of the camera, it does the same thing.
Oh, that feature should be integrated in every game for Kinect, even if you're not playing a Kinect game. Even if if you're playing, like, it should just be in the Xbox software. So if you're playing, like, you know, if I'm playing Crysis 2 and I get up and walk, it should automatically save me and pause it. I think that would be like one of the biggest that'd be the best feature Microsoft could ever add.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, if they could expand that to everything. So I guess we can. Well, I probably may.
Speaking of Kinect, I also bought a Kinect game.
Alrighty.
Okay. Cool.
I was moving on to that, but okay.
I was helping with the transition there.
What game did you buy, Stuart?
I bought Ustar 2. And this is... Okay, the description on the back says, movie karaoke.
Isn't this the sequel to You're in the Movies, Ustar? Basically?
No.
Oh.
No, it's the sequel to Ustar. Okay. Which Ustar was never a console game. It was its own, like, kit.
Okay.
It came with a camera and a green screen.
Yeah, I was confused. I thought this was, like, a weird sequel to You're in the Movies, because, you know, it seems like a game similar.
Because you're in the movies, you know, you made your own movie, and it didn't exist. Ustar 2, it will put you in at movies you know. Like, you know, Terminator and The Terminator.
I could be Jack Sparrow?
No.
Or, how is it, like, Terminator, like what? You'd be the Terminator, or?
Yes, you are. You're
John Connor, or?
You don't do the entire movie. You just do certain little scenes. And there's, like, a lot of movies, like six, seven.
Well, give us one as an example.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
the Terminator, the scene, I'll be back. You can totally do that scene. Like, take
what?
Take Arnold Schwarzenegger out and put yourself in that and you're reading the lines and doing all that.
Hmm.
Actually posted a couple videos, like on my Facebook and on my Twitter.
Okay, you should post them on the site. I think some of our listeners or readers would find that interesting, because I gotta definitely look at those videos, because you're describing it and I'm not really, I don't think I'm getting the right idea of it, because you're describing it and I'm kind of like, huh, what? I'm confused. That doesn't sound, okay.
The actor is fully removed from the scene, and you're replaced by you. So everything else around the scene is the same. It's just you're in that scene now.
Okay, and so it actually maps you within the scene. And so you can see yourself within the scene, or are you just kind of acting against the air?
Okay, that
you can,
helps
you
a
can,
lot.
You can see yourself within the scene.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, okay.
Like, see, one of the videos I posted yesterday, because it actually has an integrated, you know, upload to Facebook, upload to Twitter. That's built in, but it's its own player when it uploads to Facebook. So, when the scenes I uploaded was from the movie 300, you know, the This Is Sparta scene. I played the messenger, the guy getting kicked in the hole.
No.
You would, wouldn't you? No.
I also did the other way around too.
Oh, so you get the option to pick certain characters in the scene, or do they have like these certain allocated pieces that you can pick to actually act out?
Some have, you know, you can choose which role you want, but some don't. Like Spiderwick Chronicles, you can only be one, the kid. I've never seen the movie, so I don't know. I just think of that as an example.
And like the dialogue, do you just have to know the dialogue, or is it sort of like a karaoke almost, where you see the dialogue at the bottom of the screen and you read it, or do they give you like a
karaoke
precursor beforehand? Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
But there's also an option to ad lib it.
Hmm.
You know, where it just won't score you. And you can look at other people's videos. Some people are funny, and oh god, their ad libs are hilarious. And some people are not.
So based upon the scoring system, like as you've kind of tested it out and played with it, is it pretty accurate? Like when you do the scene, have you got any perfects? Do you see any glitches of it, like not reading your voice correctly, or do they grade you on how you move, like, you know, or
if you do move within the scene, you know, you'll get an energetic bonus, or if you stand perfectly still, like in the scene where you're supposed to stand perfectly still,
right,
you get a standing still bonus.
So if you just do like jumping jacks while you're doing it, will it count you off, or
I haven't tried that. I don't know. The scene that I did it with was from Apollo 13, and it was the Houston, We Have a Problem.
And you didn't think about doing jumping jacks?
In that scene, like the camera starts shaking, so I'm kind of standing there not shaking. You know, everything else is shaking around me, so I just started to shake a little bit myself. And I got the bonus.
Oh, man. This seems interesting.
It is, but there are some downsides.
Ooh, downside.
Controlling the menu, like anything where you're not acting out, sucks. And sucks big time. Like, you know, like we were saying, you know, if you leave the screen, you know, it'll pause. No, this game. The game, the cursor will move around sporadically and pick stuff on its own.
So basically, the Kinect has a seizure. Wow.
But you can also, you know, upload it to, you know, the USTAR server, and it will, and you can watch other people's and rate them.
Like in the actual game through?
Yes, in the actual game and on their website.
So it's like a replay channel like Street Fighter has, right?
Kind of, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Which you got to be careful, because and I was watching the Giant Bomb quick look of this one. You know, this made me want to buy it, but you know they were showing off, you know, the replay feature, and they stopped on one kid who was in his underwear acting out the scene. This was like a, you know, 8-year old.
What?
So
I thought Kinect's not supposed to work if you don't have proper clothes or.
No, it still works. But yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, what got me was that each time you upload, you know, it doesn't upload right away. It says, you know, like, you know, your scene is now being viewed, you know, by a moderator. Did the moderator not catch that, or was he just really creepy?
I don't know. Huh. But it definitely seems interesting. I'll definitely have to check out videos about it. And
I believe it's a demo on Xbox Live, isn't it?
I don't know.
Because I saw that the Avatar, what is it called, like Mystical Pets demo, the Zomba demo. I think it is a demo, or that could be some DLC. I'm not entirely sure.
There is some DLC, like there's a superhero DLC where you can have a scene from Batman, Superman.
Okay, well that's good that they bundled it up like that. But
wait, which Batman?
It was the original Batman.
Everybody, chill.
Okay, because
no, not that one. Like, and there's also scenes like it's not. There's no script to it. It's just video. Like there's this one. It's, you know, a shot of the Batmobile, and then it shows an inside shot, and that's where you sit. There's no lines, so you can make up your own lines.
What?
And so one of the, you know, like one of the top videos right now is a kid using that scene and singing the Batman theme as he's driving along the Batmobile.
Huh.
So
I'm looking at, I think, DLC for it, and it's $2 per scene.
Yeah, it's just, like if you go for each individual scene, yes. But it's stuff it's for movies that are already in the game.
Ben Stiller scene pack. Well, I'll never buy that because I can't stand.
There's a couple Ben Stiller movies in there. You know,
I can't stand him. So
Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers. Zoolander's also in there.
Can't tell me you didn't like Dodgeball. That was awesome.
Yeah, most of the Ben Stiller movies I like are not because of him. It's the supporting characters like Owen Wilson or whoever else. But yeah. So wait, is this the 300 one? Was that DLC?
No. Well, there is a 300 DLC.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying.
But there is two scenes from 300 already in the game. Like there's a
Blade DLC Runner stuff. Scene pack. That's pretty cool.
That's actually not in the game. I don't think.
Scene pack for 400. That's pretty cool. Blade Runner.
Because so far the only DLC I've seen is for movies that are already in the game.
And you said Heroes is Batman, Superman, not like Heroes, the TV show?
No. The only TV show I saw was Mad Men.
Hmm. It's interesting. Do you know how many movies it spans in the actual game? Like how many movies it takes from?
Oh, like I want to say like 80.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good list.
I'll definitely have to check it out. I don't see a demo. Maybe it's at the very... No, I don't see a demo. Oh, there's a CSI Miami one.
Yeah.
But,
and it's... And sorry. It's not... what's his face? It's not him. It's not a scene with him in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch the show, so... Yeah. But Life is Like a Box of Chocolates. Oh, my God. Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
Wow. This could be a really fun game.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
You were doing parties. You were doing Connect parties with it?
Not yet.
Talked about it?
Got one coming up maybe this weekend.
That's it. Are you going to be streaming it?
Maybe.
Alrighty. Cool. I'd love to see how it actually works, and I definitely would watch just to see you act stupid. But I guess I definitely think I'm going to get a Kinect, trade in the Wii and all that stuff we have that's just collecting dust, and get a Kinect, because there's a lot of games I want to play on the Kinect, or there's a couple, and you two just introduced me to two more that I'm interested in. So those two, Dance Central and the Michael Jackson game, that's four games. That's definitely worth picking up the Kinect for me anyways. I guess next we got 3DS impressions. Stuart,
I finally did get my hands on a 3DS this week. I was getting U-Star 2, I saw, hey, 3DS over there, I'm going to go play it.
And what did you think about it? Because I recently was able to play it at my local GameStop.
I only played Street Fighter 4, the demo in that was in the game. I thought it was awesome. I had a blast with it.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised at what the 3D could actually do without having glasses. It's been, this has been said to death, but I mean, I was really, really impressed with the slider capability and how I was actually able to show depth. Surprisingly, I mean, I wear glasses and, my head didn't start hurting.
Same.
I was good. I mean, I've heard different, people say, it gets irritating after a while or whatever. Maybe I didn't play it for a long period of times, but I'm not really like a handheld player. But I mean, from what I played, I mean, it didn't feel terribly bad. I mean, it felt, it felt comfortable. And you can also turn the slider down or completely off if you want to. So, it felt good. I mean, for what it is, I mean, it looked nice.
The 3D for at least Street Fighter didn't really seem intense or anything like they've been toting, it to be. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it just added some depth to it. I mean, but as far as the actual playing the game, playing Street Fighter, controlling the characters, I chose my boy Guy and was able to just, pull off moves I can do on my regular 360 controller. Basically, yeah. And it was really, really responsive, and that analog stick worked really well. I really liked it.
I think
the only thing hurting the 3DS right now is just software. I mean, they need some of the major franchises. They need to come on and start advertising, the Kid Icaruses, and start advertising the Marios and Zeldas. I mean, give us something to latch on to, because they have plans to release Ocarina of Time. They've already announced the Mario's coming, but it needs to be here. I mean, but hey, I mean, it's Nintendo, it's a 3DS, and the thing is selling like gangbusters, so I guess it doesn't need to be here. So
I'm waiting for Star Fox to come out, and then maybe try to see if I can try that out, because I've been wanting another way to play Star Fox for so long. I miss Star Fox. But I heard other games were... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, going back to Street Fighter a bit, the special moves are right there on the touchscreen.
I don't like that.
I was playing Ryu, and I was doing the half circle, for the dragon punch, but then I realized, oh wait, there's a button right here. Hey, that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I've never been able to do that before. Hit that button. Ultra, same here.
Oh. Yeah, they copied that from the iPhone version, because I just recently bought the iPhone version on my phone and also on my wife's phone. It was like 99 cents during the whole Japan relief thing. Capcom marked it down. And they have the same thing at the top of the screen on your super meter. You can just tap it. You can just touch it and tap it, and it'll do it. So,
well, there's a button that'll just do regular special or the ultra, right?
Oh, what?
No, I mean on the what's it called, the iPod one, right?
Yeah, but like your regular specials, at least I haven't noticed it. You have to actually do the half circle rotation. You know, of course, to do the whirlwind kick, you have to do the backwards.
Well, the 3DS, there's like a bunch of buttons basically to do all the moves.
Like quick buttons.
Yeah, for like there's like what, 4 or 5 or like a lot.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah, it is cheap, and you know, I've seen Cookie tweet, you know, oh, I'm kicking people's butts online and all this and that, and when I finally got to play and I saw all those buttons on the, you know, on the touchscreen for the DS that you can do all those moves, I'm thinking that's how he did. That's how he's so good, probably.
Now, do you know if you raise the difficulty, does it take those things off?
I don't know.
Like honestly, the hotkeys off.
I'm not sure. That'd be interesting. But, I mean, to see.
You can still do them with the slider. You know, if you do the half circle stuff, you still do those moves.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know, a diehard fan who knows the moves
the right way, the way it's meant to be. And
yeah, exactly.
If you want to be a cheating noob, you can use the touchscreen.
Yeah, I mean, if you have buttons to press, I mean, that takes away the whole skill of Street Fighter. I mean, that takes away the whole concept.
I mean, just tapping sections on your stylus to fight on Street, that just doesn't feel right. But yeah, definitely. I've heard, I think Pilot Wings or some other, or either that or some other game. I know that's on there, but I'm not sure which one. I heard one of the other launch games, the 3D was really intense and really, you know, started hurting people's eyes and stuff like that. Street Fighter was the only one at my GameStop, so I wasn't able to try anything else out, or any of the movies, because I don't think there's any movies out for it. I'd definitely like to see how the 3D movies work on it. That would be interesting, but seems like a lot of 3D is really starting to be the hot thing, because there are cell phones now that are been, you know, announced that are going to have 3D coming this summer, and you know, tablets that are going to have 3D, and
that scares me because we're not at that point yet.
Well, some of the phones have like the two cameras, you know, on the back where you can do the 3D, and they're like 8-megapixel cameras, so they're not like what, 1 megapixel
for each,
eight each,
four each, and they adds up to 8.
No, 8 each, 8 megapixels okay. each, or 5, or I don't. There's different ones, but instead of like what, I don't even know what the 3DS megapixel is for the cameras. I'm not even sure. I'm sure it's not that high quality. It's probably VGA or something, you know, but definitely curious about 3D. You know, everyone's saying 3D is not the big step. Well, it's come in various different ways, you know, besides just TV and home consoles. So that's definitely interesting. I'm not sure people would have thought that, you know, a year ago when people were debating about 3D coming to, you know, consoles and being the next big step. I don't think anyone would have thought 3D on our cell phones or stuff like that. I never thought 3D on a cell phone. Not for a while, anyways.
I still don't. it's not gonna work very well. I can almost guarantee it.
Well, if it's like if it's the 3DS technology, basically, I mean, they've had more time to enhance it and whatever. I'm not sure how the 3D is, but
when I first walked up to the 3DS and started playing it, I'm like, this screen sucks. I can't see a thing. It looks really weird. I can't see anything. Then I realized, oh, I'm not at the right angle. So I had to do the splits to get down at the right angle.
Oh, yeah. I had to, like...
Oh, man.
I had to, like, do the same thing. Well, I didn't do that. I bent my knees and was like in a weird half squat or whatever. And yeah. That was uncomfortable as far as – that was just so uncomfortable because it attached to the freaking whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't even have that
– And it doesn't move.
Yeah.
You can't even close it. Like, yeah. It's open to that locked position.
I was hoping they'd have it attached to one of those big metal cords or, you know, what yeah. like some of them do, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But nope. And they have it, the problem is they have it at the right size. The right size for like 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
So normal people, we're trying to play, we got to, yeah. And it's just a little higher to where you can't just get on your knees and just kneel, you know, and play. Mm-hmm. It's just a little tad exactly. bit too high. but
that's GameStop's fault, not the 3DS.
Yeah, true. Definitely interested. I don't think I'm going to get the 3DS. Maybe I'll get a 3DS or 3DS Lite or XL or whatever they want to call the next iteration if it proves successful. And because there's some cool concepts with the 3DS, like the Street mm-hmm. Pass system, but
yeah.
How often will that work in the United States when we have our population, you know, as far as area of, like, you know, our area to population relationship isn't like Japan, where you pass by 20
not gonna
people
work well.
A minute.
That's not going to work well around here unless, you know, you're in, like, New York or Chicago. Or San Francisco.
Or at PAX East or West.
PAX East, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a cool concept. It definitely is. And just curious on how it will all turn out. And
yeah.
definitely surprised when I saw that tablets and cell phones are now going to be 3D capable and all that. I guess we can move on to, unless you all have anything else about the 3DS, I guess
I'm good.
We can move on to the Call of Duty Black Ops new map pack that comes out the 3rd, I think, May 3rd?
May 5th.
May 5th, okay.
Yeah, they have it backwards because it was a UK poster.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm definitely looking forward to this, especially since it's probably going to be $15 normally, and they're given an extra map compared to last time. And some of the maps seem kind of interesting. I mean, having a multiplayer map in a zoo, that has me intrigued a little.
I saw that. I mean, it looks a little bit different than what they have been doing. I just wonder if like these maps are going to have the same effect as the older ones did, you know, with the different elements like the grapple hook string where you swing down, or like the destructible bridge on the ice element stage and stuff like that. Like, I hope they'll keep trying to, you know, pushing those elements further in the Call of Duty space as far as the multiplayer goes.
Yeah. I can't. I saw a post where it was like some. What's it called? Some special picture of it, like for each of the maps or something. Something I saw, I think, on Gamertag Radio. I can't find it at the moment. It seemed interesting, but I saw something. Double XP weekend.
Yes, the double XP weekend is going to be during, you know, of course, the maps release. Maps, of course, are called Escalation, and double XP will begin on May 6th. So. More than likely for Xbox 360 because they have the exclusive. It's like what, 30 days before any other console or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm definitely looking forward to it because I need a reason to get back on Black Ops, and most importantly, I love the zombie mode. I know a lot of people dog it and say, "Oh, I don't care about zombies," but most of those people have never played the zombies mode.
Yeah, well, the developers basically went on to say, you know, hey, you know, they didn't really want to give any spoilers, but there's going to be a surprise for all the zombie fans, and all they said was Call of the Dead takes it to a whole new level. So whatever that means, it was like a little hint from the developers. I'm probably thinking they're going to do something like Dawn of the Dead or something like that. Or
yeah, and that's interesting since they're using the of the dead. Like
I know, yeah.
So I don't know. I have speculations. Maybe they worked with George Romero or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
that would be so badass if because I've seen him do an interview saying he'd be interested in working on something game related because he says the zombie movies besides Zombieland, which that was more of a comedy, they've never really made any groundbreaking money. It's basically been the video games that have brought the zombie genre up as high as it is. So that's my speculation. And if it comes true, then oh my god, I'm awesome. But if not, oh well, speculation. So it's May 5th. Alrighty.
May 3rd.
Yeah.
No, it's May 5th. May 3rd. This is the UK, right?
Yeah. The poster it says 3/5 2011. But of course we all know that that's not it though.
Yeah, because
yeah, it's day, month, year.
Yeah, day, month, yeah, right, year, yeah.
Because March already happened.
We don't have those maps.
Unless we're in the past or we're in the future.
Oh, shit.
Wow. I'm trying to think of some clever thing to say, but I'm just too tired right now.
Back in time.
I was thinking DeLorean, 88 miles. What can I say?
Gigawatts.
Definitely. I'm definitely excited about that. I'm a huge zombie fan, and so I'm definitely excited about that. Most importantly, I just wish they'd release the World of War zombie maps for download because they came with the special editions, and I didn't know that when I bought my copy, or I would have bought the special edition. But anyways, Mortal Kombat. I know a lot of people were upset because, they haven't announced any special characters because Kratos is for PS3, but they haven't announced anything for Xbox 360, and I guess there's a rumor for some exclusives?
Yeah. This is a pretty big rumor, and they've got different screenshots, proving their case. They've got a whole bunch of stuff there where they're saying that it's going to be exclusive to the Xbox 360. They have this puzzle combat mode where it looks like the characters are like all a little small. Like if you ever played a Puzzle Fighter, Street Fighter. Game like the characters like that, but just think of it in like Mortal Kombat form with CG, and there's like a bunch of little characters like watching this little screen in the screenshot. They also have like I guess it's a King of the Hill mode, but I don't know how you would even do that in Mortal Kombat. But it says that it's gonna have avatar support. They have an exclusive map called the Pit 360. It's supposed to be I guess a rendition of the original Pit combined with the Pit 2, and so they're gonna call it the Pit 3. And also they have another DLC character called the Lady in Red. And if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, you know that back in the day on the Sega Genesis and also on MK3 Ultimate.
That glitch.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I actually remember that. So like when they said that, I was like, that's not a real character. But apparently Warner Brothers is moving forward, and along with NetherRealm Studios, they're going to make her into a real character and give her a fleshed out story and everything. And they're saying that this character is supposed to be a DLC character for the Xbox 360. So they're going to make another character, which she'll probably have the same garb on as like Melina or Katana. And then they'll just give her, the red suit or whatever. Because that was the original glitch, is that for some reason, I guess the colors weren't meshing right, or it happened where if you pick Katana or either Melina, they would show up in red, and everybody thought that it was a different character. But it turns
out
that's
cool fan service right there.
I know, yeah, exactly.
That's really cool.
I mean, but the guys in Mortal Kombat, I mean, they've always been – I mean, they've always given fan service in every one of their games. So that's something that they do really, really well over there at that studio.
Except versus DC.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, well, they did that to kind of try to appeal to a much broader audience, of course, with the whole teen rating and, you know, the no fatalities type thing. But this is taking it back to its roots. I'm not terribly excited for it, but, you know, as far as U360 owners that was thinking about, you know, not buying it because they have the exclusive character for PS3 or you were kind of bummed out, it looks like, you know, this rumor looks pretty legit. I mean, it's posted up by a respectable site, and they have pictures to prove it. Since I posted this, they have a couple more things also, but those are like the main points. But it looks pretty promising. I mean, so, you know, gamers who have both consoles will have a tough choice to make. Do you want to just get one character, or do you want these extra game modes and extra content? So, you know.
Well, I don't know if you guys are looking at the live stream, the image I have, but I want to know what you guys think of that one.
I got to refresh. Hold on one second.
Yeah, I think I got to as well. Dead air.
Yeah, I just see the Geeks post on there.
Really?
Uh-huh. I don't see a picture.
Okay, it's a picture of a cog fighting Scorpion from Gears of War.
Oh, what? Is that real, though? Or is that,
I don't
like,
know,
doctored up by a fan or something like that?
I don't know. It looks good, but, you know, I don't know.
Huh. That would be interesting. But as far as, you know, getting Kratos, I don't care. I don't care about Kratos. I mean, I really don't care, honestly. I mean, God of War was fun, and the third one kind of failed in comparison to Dante's and Bayonetta and, you know, is in my opinion, anyways. And, you know, I know there's a few others who have thought the same, you know. And so I really don't care. I'd rather have party support on the 360 and all these other special crazy exclusives if they do happen. And yeah. I'm going to rent it first to see if I really like it, you know. Just going to check it out and see if I rent it, Gamefly it real, and see if I like it before I buy it, because there's nothing else.
We will find out next week.
Yeah, definitely. But there's nothing really else coming out that I need to get on Gamefly, because I'm straight up buying Portal 2. So, yeah, I got an open slot. I guess. Oh, breaking news. I have some breaking news. Well, I wish I had it. Awesome. Alrighty. Activision has come out and said they're just putting Guitar Hero on hiatus and they're not ending it. And they won't be releasing a new one next year, but it is going to be it. The brand won't go away, so. That's very interesting. I knew the brand wasn't going away. I knew it.
No, yeah.
It's not dead. It's just asleep.
They're just trying to find more bands to make games for, like, I don't know, Guitar Hero Black Eyed Peas Edition or whatever.
Oh, God.
Oh, I had to think of the worst band I could think of. Or they're actually a group, but yeah, Super Bowl really brought them up to the worst for me. But I'm sure that's what they're. I'm sure this is all give the audience a break, or give the, you know, gamers a break and try to find, you know, more licensing for different music and stuff like that.
Here's what they're gonna do. I can see it now. They're going to wait until the people who are not paying attention are going to look for the next game and ask, where is it? And then there's an uprising. Where is our Guitar Hero game? Yeah, it's coming. It's right here.
Yeah, because the college frat boy who just, I say this, but I'm in college, the college frat boy who just plays Madden and Call of Duty and Guitar Hero, you know, he's probably going to be like, okay, I got my Madden, I got my Call of Duty, but where's my Guitar Hero?
Exactly.
And, you know, frat boys
it's coming next year.
Check gaming news sites, so. But, definitely definitely interesting, and I thought I had to. I should bring that up since we talked about them going away when we thought they were going away. But
yeah, they're basically doing what they should have done a long time ago. You know, let the franchise be missed for a little while, then come out with another. You know, I won't say exciting because I can't say that I'm terribly excited for the Black Eyed Peas, but but yeah, I mean, come out with the franchise every, you know, every other year or so, you know, or every 3 years for that matter. Just fill it with downloadable content. I mean, you know, take a page out of the Rock Band book. I mean, they continue to have downloadable content that's good DLC. I mean, you know, but teach its own. Activision, they made their money bags, and they're going to continue to do so in the future. So,
yeah. Hey. I mean, how can you not be excited for Black Eyed Peas Guitar Hero? I mean,
very easily.
You're playing, and all of a sudden, oh, Slash is here. Oh, wait, where'd he go? He was just here. Oh, here's Usher. Oh, where's Usher? Oh, he's gone. Where'd he go? Wow. But yeah, definitely. And that has been, you know, that is breaking news, and we bring you back to your regular geeky filled episode. And speaking of fighting games, Super Street Fighter 4, the arcade DLC, is coming out, and I know that Dark DJ, one of our writers for our brand new podcast, Project We Are Geeks, he was talking about this, and I saw that the arcade edition, you know, the actual arcade edition in the arcades in, like, Japan, having the special characters, and I got pretty jealous. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? I can't have Evil Ryu, or, you know, I can't.
Yun and Yang, yeah.
Yun and Oni. Yang and Oni. What?
Yeah.
This sucks. I want it. I want DLC. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, they're going to come out with the Super Mega Street Fighter 4 or Super Alpha Street for whatever, you know.
Yeah, almost immediately when I saw those characters, I started to get really angry because I was like, you know what they're going to do? They're going to package it up. They're going to call it Sugar again, and they're going to sell us another $30 Street Fighter game, and they're going to call it Arcade Ultra Super whatever.
Super Street Fighter 4 Turbo HD Alpha. Remix Alpha, yeah. Omega. You know,
but you know, hey, they didn't do that. They appealed to what the fans wanted. It is going to be available. I believe it's going to be available on a disc version and as well as downloadable content. So for all of you who already have Super Street Fighter 4, you will be able to download it for $15 over Xbox Live Marketplace, which is cool. So it's going to add Evil Ryu, you said Oni, and Yun and Yang, right? And there's a couple of different game modes, too, they're going to add, I believe.
And it's $15?
And they're rebalancing everybody.
Yeah, right.
And I was listening to the Giant Bombcast a couple weeks ago, and they were actually talking about this. They had somebody on there who had actually played in the arcade, so had actually played with these characters, and they said that, you know, everybody's nerfed and these new characters are gods. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I think by the time it comes out for Xbox Live and or either PSN, I think they'll have it. They'll have it balanced because they have done an absolute. I mean, Capcom. I just gotta commend them. I mean, from Marvel vs. Capcom 3 to Street Fighter 4. All these fighting games that they've released, like they have supported the heck out of it, and they've done an absolute good job of keeping it balanced. I mean, just from what I've seen, I mean, as far as the matches that I've played.
But well, you know, we can put a man on the moon, but we can't get Spectator for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm just saying, and I know Ace is probably just laughing at that, but
Here's a question, because, you know, I've only played Street Fighter 4. I haven't played the Super. You know, I'm now going to wait to buy the Super. But, I mean, you know, Evil Ryu and Oni, they're two more Fireball characters. That adds to the already five. I mean, I've heard, you know, like, is that a bad
thing?
There's
like 30 in total characters, right?
Yeah, but technically you have players, you know, people like DJ and you know, Gal. I mean, they're Fireball characters too. It's just, you know, it's just a different move set. I mean, but I mean, you could say the same thing about Shin Akuma. I mean, you know, he can throw, you know, double fireballs, and you know, it's I don't know. I think it'll be all right. I mean, and if it's not, I mean, there'll be an uproar of fighting game fans, which is huge now, and they'll fix it.
From what I've seen, you know, Evil Ryu is Ryu only red. You know, he's red flames instead of blue.
He plays more Oni like Akuma, is, though, right?
Oni is a dark Akuma, but I thought Akuma was already dark, so.
Huh, yeah.
Don't get me started on the Street Fighter story, because, yeah, it's not the easiest to understand.
Definitely. But I'm definitely glad that, you know, we actually are getting this stuff, because, you know, it's not like we could just go and play the actual arcade anywhere, because I couldn't, to save my life, I couldn't tell you where an arcade is. I mean, yeah, I do not know where an arcade is.
I think the last one we have here in Texas, well, in Dallas, I think they still, I don't know if GameWorks is still around. GameWorks was awesome back in the day, but I don't even think they have that around anymore.
We had a GameWorks here. Well, it was an indie, but.
Is it like actual like gaming cabinets, or have they turned it into basically an indoor carnival?
Well, from what I remember, it was like the third floor of the mall, of the indie mall.
Yeah.
It was the third floor. That was the entire arcade.
Yeah, all of our arcades here in Dallas, what they've basically done to them is they basically turn them into indoor fairs. Like, I mean, they got like the little water gun shoot thing where you shoot the mouth of the frog and the balloon blows up, and they got the little, you know, the little throw the ball and the virtual hit and stuff like that. Like, there's no arcade cabinets like Marvel vs. Capcom or Street Fighter or Cruising the USA cabinets and, you know, the different racing cabinets and stuff like that. There's none.
Well, you have Dave and Buster's in Dallas. Like a few of those, and
yeah, but the games now, like I said, I mean, there's only maybe. It's just like it's a bunch of shooting games. Like it's the Terminator games.
Oh yeah,
it's a game with guns on. But not actual gaming cabinets. Like you don't see Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, you know, all over the place like you used to. Like I said, it's basically an indoor carnival now. You know, you play little games, skee ball, and you go get your tickets, and you know go buy your little piece of plastic. You know.
Yeah, I remember the closest arcade to us. At real arcade, like you're talking about, because there's like some place called Laughing Out Loud, LOL. It's like a lame Chuck E. Cheese. I'm serious. The sign says LOL, and then below it says Laughing Out Loud. Wow. And it's like a Chuck E. Cheese or something. I don't know, but I have never gone in there it's just a bunch of little kids. I mean, seriously, and. I heard the pizza wasn't even that good. So, but the closest
so it is Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, the closest I know. Which side tangent? I hear they actually have rooms where people go to have business meetings. That's just weird. But you'd never.
You can't even enter a Chuck E. Cheese unless you're with like a somebody below 10.
You would think. I mean.
I'm just getting this image of like five true. Guys in suits and like Chuck E.'s like coming around. You know, with the kids.
I mean, that's just presentations on the stage. They will actually not let you in unless you're with somebody 10 or under.
I know.
Yeah, but I mean, from what I hear, there's actually in this LOL, Laughing Out Loud, whatever. They actually have certain rooms where they use for actual business type meetings. I guess I don't know. It's the weird. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, but
No, that's yeah. Laugh Out Loud.
definitely. But where? Oh, damn it! What was I talking about? Oh yeah, the closest arcade that we used that I knew of was in Wichita Falls, Texas. That was like 40 minutes away, 50 minutes away from me. And they went out of business like 2 years ago or whatever in the mall, and I was so mad because they were selling their arcade, you know, cabinets, and they had Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for like, I don't know, $500, $600, and I didn't have enough to buy it, or I would have, because it was such a good price for something like that. But yeah, I haven't seen an arcade and a real arcade in I don't know how long. Closest thing I've seen is Dave and Buster's, And like you said, they just have the Terminator, the driving games, and the like Time Crisis, other shooter stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And they got generic DDR machines. They don't even have real DDR. They just got generic ones. But yeah, definitely.
We only got rid of our DDR.
Wow. But definitely glad that, you know, since our arcades are not thriving like, you know, Japan, I mean, their arcades are probably multi-billion dollar industries alone. I mean,
you got people living there. They're probably bigger than the console market.
I don't know. Maybe. If you don't count handhelds.
I don't.
Do you count? Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because like, I mean, Japan's a totally different culture. I mean, other than probably, I would say, sumo wrestling and like some other fighting tournaments, gaming and arcades, StarCraft, stuff like that. I mean, that's huge in Asia. I mean, you know, that's pretty much like their culture's pastime, you know. Whereas, you know, ours is like, you know, football or baseball or whatever. They just have a different culture. But yeah, most definitely.
And it's just good to see since we, America, does not have arcades anymore, that we're actually getting the stuff, because I guess consoles have replaced the arcades, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sad but true. Next, I guess we got Killzone 3 DLC. Has it come out yet, Henry?
I haven't had a chance to check the PSN. Maybe by the time we do this and it's up, it will be out. But yeah, I mean, Killzone 3 DLC is coming out. I think it is out today because it says April 12th.
It says PlayStation will be able to download for free of charge.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for PSN Plus members. So it's a regular, of course, you'll pay $5, which isn't too bad. I mean, for maps, I mean, considering the first person shooters that are out there, I mean, the maps are, you know, no less than $10, $15 in some cases.
Mm-hmm. How many comes maps, out at $5. Only two. So,
yeah, it's only two. I mean, but, you know, consider some maps, some people, they, you know, say you're 3 for $10. So, you know, I guess it's a pretty good value. And, you know, if you got PSN Plus, you can download it for free. And there you go.
You've got almost a month to do it, so get on it, I guess.
April 12th through May 10th. It will be up for PSN Plus members free of charge, and everybody else $5.
And see, PlayStation Plus is really getting there to where it's almost worth getting, because they're just coming out with all kinds of, like, you know, oh, that's really cool for the Plus subscribers. Oh, that's really cool, you know, for, you know, every now and then you'll see, you know, they get a brand new Xbox Live or brand new arcade game where on Xbox Live it's like $15 or $10, and they get it, you know, for free or for the, you know, having the service. And so I'm thinking, you know, they just need to, I don't know, party chat. That's all they need.
I just like you said, I don't even know. Well, I mean, I just want party chat, period. But I think they need something more rock solid, like something more perpetual. What they did with the cloud saves was awesome, but, you know, that's a real niche audience. I think they just need something, just like you said, party chat. If they can say for every PSN Plus, you know, subscriber or member, you know, you get party chat unlimited, or you get this feature, there it is, and you get this forever. Like, I think that will be a huge selling point. But they don't even have to have that. Like, I just think that they need something great that's rock solid, that's continual. Because right now it's kind of like, do I want PSN Plus? Well, you know, last week they had a Mortal Kombat demo that was access to everybody. You know, access to PSN Plus subscribers. Well, in a week it'll be out for everybody else. You know, or like this DLC, like, oh, it's free, but, you know, it's only worth $5. I mean, I can buy it. You know, so do I want to spend $5 or do I want to spend $50 a year? So it's, you know, it's like certain things that aren't guaranteed. I mean, even like the betas aren't guaranteed. They just need something more rock solid. Like, if I pay for X PSN Plus, you know, whether it's 3 months or a year or whatever, you will get this continually, and it's guaranteed. Like, now it's kind of like, well, we think you're going to be in this beta, but we don't know if every PSN Plus member is going to be in it. But just keep watching, you know, keep paying, you know. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like something's, you know, there's not like a rock solid for sure thing that's continual other than the cloud saves, which is awesome.
What they need to do is they need to, like, instead of giving you some random game, they need to just give you a credit, like, every month, like, a credit where you can use towards, you know, whatever game to, as long as you have, you know, the membership. You know, you get a credit or every week, every 2 weeks, or however long it is, you know, so you can choose what you want from the membership.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the big thing I could think of besides Party Chat, of course. I mean, that would be a instant buy. I mean, if I heard Party Chat was coming, I'd probably buy it. I'd probably subscribe before it actually came just to have it when it did come. But, because that's the main thing holding me back from playing on my PS3 more often. Definitely interesting. So it did come out today. Two maps, $5. That is a good deal. That is a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
Next, we've got the Mass Effect 2 anime movie. I know, I cut it from your topic, didn't I, Henry?
Yes, you did, sir. No, I'm just playing.
Well, you didn't follow the guidelines. One topic segment each.
No,
I think you and Stuart picked like more than one topic, and you know, you can't just because you're the host of the main podcast, you can't have any special treatment.
I demand my caviar and my plate too, sir. No, I'm just kidding. Funimation announced this about 4 or 5 days ago. They announced this. They're gonna, you know, injunction with the, you know, with the creators. They're gonna make a Mass Effect anime comic. So they haven't released a whole lot of details on it yet. They just announcing it right now. So we shall see. I don't know. I just kind of curious to hear you guys' speculations. Like, I just hope that if they do Shepard's story, I don't know. I feel like the game is already, you know, it's kind of the telling of Shepard's story. I feel like they should do something else. But I don't want it to be, you know, the typical anime video game thing where they chop it up to a bunch of different, you know, segments. Like, just do one continuous movie or create a series out of it or something like that or whatever. I don't want it to be like a bunch of chopped up different little bite-sized action, you know, points or whatever.
Well, they can chop up the mining scenes, you know, that's okay.
Damn. Sorry, yeah. I'm just looking at the picture Stuart posted.
I would say with that picture, I want to see a live action movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't see.
Yeah.
I own Mass Effect 1 on Games on Demand because I wanted to try it out and see how the Games on Demand thing worked, and it was like the cheapest game on there at the time. I think it was only $19.99, and it's just it's a chore to get through the actual game of the first one. At least it feels like it for me, and I feel like I'm so missing out. I think I just need to just suck it up and just get through it and then play the second one, because everyone just talks about it, and I'm tired of hearing it and not understanding. It's like y'all are speaking Korean to me.
I mean Mass Effect 1 is, I'm sorry, I just love Mass Effect, but I do understand the plight of some people where they say Mass Effect 1 is kind of a drudgery to get through. But I promise you, like, if you just listen to the characters, once you recruit Tali, I don't know kind of which section that is in the game. Once you recruit Tali and you get the Krogan, which is, of course, Rex, like, the story, if you talk to your characters, like, the story and the dialogue will help you ramp yourself up to play it. And by mid-level, when you get your character kind of boosted up a little bit or whatever, it starts to get really, really, really good. But Mass Effect 2, if anybody says Mass Effect 2 is, yeah, it's, if you don't like Mass Effect 2, I promise you, you're doing it wrong. Period. That's all it is. But, but I mean, just the Mass Effect 2 universe is awesome. I mean, you need to play the game. If you have it, I would just recommend you just, I'm telling you, once you recruit Tally and you get to like the Rex mission and you kind of go through it, keep talking to your characters and it becomes very, very interesting. And then of course, you know, your save will transfer over to Mass Effect 2. But just in the anime vein, like I hope they don't, because a lot of times, of course, we saw what they did with Halo, where they kind of took the franchise and they kind of chopped it up. And maybe, I probably would say maybe only two of those anime scenes were actually good out of the, I think it was, like six or seven of them. And the origin stories were, you know, were real good. So those are kind of like a given. But, you know, they didn't really tell anything that we already didn't know anyway. But I hope they do, I guess, a better, more deeper storyline of Shepard, possibly go back to when he first started to give people, you know, a more of an insight of his character, or do a one-off, do something that's just totally different. That's cool. But to have it based in the Mass Effect universe and have cameos of the characters, like, I don't know. I'm just hoping, but I just hope they just don't mess it up.
That could definitely work. Cause there's so much in that universe they could touch on.
Just, yeah. So much.
They could even go, you know, Shepard's backstory.
Yeah, exactly. And see, what's so cool about it is that because of the fact that Mass Effect 1, you get to choose Shepard's backstory, they have an open palette. Like, they can go anywhere with his backstory. Because I think there's, like, three different choices when you start off Mass Effect 1. Like, you can choose to be...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, like the... what is it like? It's like a war hero or or the...
Ruthless.
What is it called? The Ruthless or the Survivor or something like that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with the anime, I mean, it's wide open. They can go anywhere with it. I mean, they can, you know, make Shepard their own and just make it good, you know?
Yeah, I'm just getting flashbacks of some of those old VHS Choose Your Adventure, like, movies or whatever, where you'd have to read the little thing and fast forward to whatever. But that would actually, I think that would work pretty well. Easily on DVD or Blu-ray, yeah. So that could be pretty cool. I mean, especially for people who don't like the gameplay of Mass Effect, or I mean, I haven't played the second one. I don't know if it's anything like the first, but as much as I played of the first, it was just seemed like a chore to get through. Not saying I hate the story or anything, because I know those. If you say that around here, those are fighting words. I mean. Around our community, if you diss on Mass Effect, then you're gonna get jumped probably.
Dragon Age is the same way.
Yeah. basically anything. BioWare. Yeah. But definitely. It for me, it just felt like a chore to get through the gameplay, and I would. A lot of the time I couldn't figure out what I had to actually do for the gameplay, and I couldn't focus on the story. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need to just start it over and play on the easiest difficulty just to get through it, to play to see the story. Cause I love games with good stories and everyone just rants and raves over it. So I don't want to be left out, but, definitely want to see more about the actual anime and see maybe if it's gonna how it's gonna be. I mean, they haven't really said any big details, have they?
No, they haven't released any details. No. They just announced it, and that was pretty much it.
Except for it will be with Funimation, and Funimation right. is like the best.
They're good.
Sometimes. I mean, okay, they're all right.
Most of my favorite animes have been through Funimation, so. I'll definitely be pleased if they continue the routine. Anyways, I guess that's it for gaming. We had a big or gaming related topic. That was half the show, and I'm guessing. But yeah. I guess it's time we can get into our I recommend section, which this week was my pick. And to be honest, it was a tough choice to pick something. I definitely, and as soon as I picked this, you know, lo and behold, Netflix released other things that right as soon as I picked it. But what I picked is it's an 80s movie called Zapped, and it's a comedy, but it's really campy. I mean, and really over the top. I mean, this movie just goes over the top, like more than you would ever think a movie would. And that's kind of the reason why I like it, honestly. It's got Scott Baio. Wasn't he Chachi?
Yeah. He was the main character in this movie, but yeah, he was Chachi.
Yeah, and I mean, basically, the nerdy, really nerdy kid in high school basically is doing, I guess he has his, this is funny, because, like, he's doing an experiment, and he's got, what is it, whiskey in the high school.
Yeah.
He's got whiskey in the high school. That's one of the first things that I was like, really? You're just whiskey in the high school? Okay.
And he's growing pot in the lab.
Pot in the lab, and he's the only one in the school with a key to the lab.
Yeah.
The only one. The principal had to crawl through a window to see the... or to not see the pot.
The thing about this movie, like, it was so funny because me and my wife, we sat down and watched this movie and we were cracking up at certain points. But it was so funny watching this movie because from, you know, the cover of the movie to where the movie starts and everything, like, it seems like it's like an adolescent movie. But, like, when you get into, like, the movie itself, like it has some pretty adult, you know, themed stuff, like, you know, as far as the nudity content and, you know, all this type of different stuff and everything.
Oh, like, yeah, this was doing like the scary the stuff the scary movie franchise has been doing like 20 years before.
Right.
I mean, because there's just over the top stuff. Well, basically the nerdy, you know, nerdy whiz whatever kid
fantasy,
lab
yeah.
guy basically is doing something and something go what does his what his friend puts something in some in one of his experiments and something goes wrong and he's got like telekinetic powers basically.
Yeah, he gets telekinesis, you know, and all, you know, he can move stuff around his mind and, you know, it, like everything, and then he just...
And what's,
you know,
funny,
I mean,
is the whole what I kept thinking was, dude, you got powers. You need to be a little more discreet about it. You can't just go and,
yeah.
I mean, basically, he goes over the top with it. I mean, it's a rated R movie, and I would not recommend kids watch this because he's ripping clothes off females, and there's boobs flying everywhere, and, I mean, it's fun and it's just ridiculous. I mean, the two baseball players from the other team were like mooning him or whatever, and he just both of them up and just I mean, there's two guys floating in the air and everyone's watching and you don't think to call like the FBI or the police or something or start running and yelling. I mean,
the only one who actually said anything was his mom.
Oh God.
When she brought the priest in the house. She's like holding a cross the whole time, running his room. Oh, that was funny.
Oh no, what was funny was when he went to what was it? He went to throw up or whatever, and he used his telekinesis to make it look like the Exorcist.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Whenever they throw. I mean, this movie just goes over the top completely. I mean, it's one of the, I guess, raunchiest movies I've. I mean, one of my favorite characters was the coach.
Oh yeah, the coach was hilarious.
I mean, when he catches the principal, like what was it? Crawl out of the window, and then he sees that other teacher or faculty member, and just the stuff he was, especially to that one kid picking his nose. He was like, "Now suck it, go ahead, now suck it."
And, yeah, he was, I mean, like,
and then during the prom scene, he actually grabbed one of the prong whirls, and his wife's like, "Oh no, you don't!" and tackles him.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No, what was awesome was when they threw all the weed in the when they threw his all his marijuana plant in the furnace, and the coach comes in, and the coach has that weird like trip out with the main character Barney and him and what is it, Albert Einstein. And
yeah.
Him and Albert Einstein. I mean, that was just hilarious. That whole scene he had where he was tripping out.
Oh yeah, he was. Man, it was just like that sequence was probably one of the funniest sequences in there. You know, because the other stuff was kind of just like juvenile humor and stuff like that. But man, when he was seeing Einstein and was he like riding a bike or something?
Yeah, like, yeah. His wife was chasing him.
Yeah,
with shooting salami at him.
Oh. Definitely just I know it's so stupid and I should really not like it, but I just can't help but to enjoy it, because it's just the whole time I'm just laughing because it just goes so over the top, and the kid is so smart, or he's supposed to be so smart and all that, but he just, when he's got the power, he goes totally juvenile.
One thing I do when I watch movies is when I first start watching them, I try to guess the plot. I try to guess how it's going to end. And four out of five times I'm right, you know, because I'm under, you know, there's no original stories anymore.
Did you guess the ending for this, though?
No, it went, it was not going where I thought it was going to go. About halfway in between the movie, like where the, that one chick, I forget her name, saw him using his powers. That's it went off where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, but the ending, that basically they're at the prom and he just starts basically stripping everybody.
Yeah, and his girlfriend's like, they're next to him just laughing away. I'm like, okay. And she's
that's the thing. I mean, he's taking the president of the class. He's taking women or girls' clothes off, and she's not like you pig or stop looking at – or she's just laughing.
She's president of the class. She was on the prom committee. And he's basically ruining prom, and she's laughing away.
Definitely.
And then nobody's freaking out. Nobody's saying nothing like, okay, this is a freak occurrence. You know, let's find out what's going on. It's just everybody's just like, whatever.
Just
well,
running
the guys, right? They don't give a crap because all the girls are freaking suddenly being topless. It's like their dream. I mean, you get high school boys, and all of a sudden girls are being topless. You don't care how. You just are thankful. But, definitely. And see, you get the coach again. You know, he was trying to chase that one girl, and then he sees the principal and that one faculty member come up again, and he's like, "You're at it again." I mean, just
and the teacher just laughing away.
I mean, it's definitely.
I want to go to that high school. I wanted to go to that high school.
Definitely. But I mean, this movie is one of the most over the top and movies, and just crazy fun. And definitely, it's on Netflix Instant Watch, of course, and give it a view. But they made a sequel, I think, kind of.
It is
Zapped.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Zapped again, and I don't know. Just not with the original characters or anything. I don't know. I've never seen it. It just looked stupid. I mean, to have a stupid sequel of a movie like this is just really worse than anything. I mean,
and it came out like 10 years later.
Yeah, it did. But, definitely, I don't think they could capture the same magic of this movie more than once. I mean, this was the stars had to align, I guess, for this to be the way it came out, because like I said, it's over the top, it's raunchy, it's cheesy, but and just the whole movie doesn't make sense, but it's just hilarious at the same time. And from what I've been hearing, I'm guessing you two We're glad I picked this one.
It was funny.
Yeah, it actually was funny.
Well, one thing I did, you know, kind of remember when, you know, watching this about the 80s, I hate 80s music.
Oh, it all sounds the same. But definitely, yeah, I'm with you there. And they didn't even have any, like, they had, like, generic 80s music, not even, like, I mean, knockoff 80s music.
Synthesizers and basic drum beats.
Yeah, not even like, you know, Duran Duran or other 80s bands, songs that you're familiar with. But definitely was a surprise movie for me when I first watched it. And I'm guessing you two were probably shocked as well. But Netflix Instant Watch, it's the movie is Zapped. Not Zapped Again. Stay away from that. But Zapped, and link will be in the show notes, of course, as always. And next, I guess, next week will be what, Henry? It'll be your pick, so I guess we're wanting to, watch out on Twitter, because I guess people have been wanting us to tell them our picks beforehand, before the show, so they can watch it. So I guess, okay, cool. Watch out,
I'll tweet it, sometime this week. I'll probably tweet it tomorrow morning, and then you guys can retweet it throughout the day and whatever. But yeah, I'll tweet the pick throughout the week, so that way everybody knows what to watch.
Alrighty, cool. Next we got the geek question of the week.
So all right, geek question of the week. Okay, it was, what would be the ultimate cross universe superhero team up if, you know, Marvel and DC crossed over again? You know, who would you want to team him up cross universe?
Now, quickly, is this like straight up just comic book or animation or live action or what? Any of the above?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. One, I have Green Lantern and Deadpool, because it'd be Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Reynolds. I'm kidding, but
that could work.
Yeah, but honestly, I would have either Flash and Deadpool, because I think the personalities would just be just hilarious.
Oh man, that would be hilarious.
Or Spider-Man and Flash, for the same reason, personality-wise. I think just or all three of the above. I don't know. I think there could be some really interesting, you know, conversations and just the way their personalities would get along. I just think it would be just amazing. So that's my picks.
All right, Knox.
Yeah. I said that my pick would probably have to be. I wanted to kind of go like the opposite end of the spectrum, so I said Batman and Spider-Man, because I think Batman is terribly, you know, dark and like methodical. He's like more detective, you know, and I think, you know, Peter Parker would add that extra bit of like, you know, I guess that extra bit of like wit and, you know, kind of banter. So I'm kind of curious to see how that would go forth. But the cool part about it is I think that team up would actually work because of the fact that, you know, Peter Parker is a scientist. You know, I mean, Batman, he's also a tinkerer. You know, he has, you know, different things. So I think that they would make a good team as far as making different gadgets and stuff like that and teaming up. You know, I think it'd be cool seeing those two together.
And they both have lost loved ones where they want, I don't know, revenge or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't kill anybody.
I did think about that one.
That would be interesting. I thought about that, but see, I don't know too much about the crossovers, so I would assume that would have been part of the crossovers. Just okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
My pick, you know, I'm not the only one who thought of this, by the way. You know, someone else said this one too. But the Avengers and the Justice League. Just one big team.
Wow. That would be the ultimate team.
But here's the story, though. Here's what happened in my mind. You know, like, I forget, you know, okay, Batmite, you know, that race of people. Like, you know, Batmite is, you know, a kiddie version. You know, Superman, I forget his one. You know, you guys know who I'm talking about.
Vaguely, yes.
Batmite. Okay. Well, like, you know, they're kids, so you know the adults are seeing this and thinking, oh, this universe is such a bad influence on people. Let's just get rid of them. So, like, universes collide. You know, Marvel and DC, and that, and those people are just trying to get rid of everybody. So, you know, Justice League and the Avengers team up to fight them, to fight the adults of that race. I totally forget the name of that race.
As long as it's not anything like Crisis on Two Earths or DC versus Mortal Kombat, or as long as it's nothing like those two, I'm good.
Real devoted comic book fans will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying those two are crossovers, different worlds and different universes and stuff where it's, you know, teams and those were...
Yeah, that's different.
But yeah, that would be interesting. Definitely. That's almost cheating and saying, you know, everyone with everyone.
Yeah. But yeah, I was not the only one who thought about that, though, so...
Already.
All right. The Ace Black, or L Ace Black, or Dirt Ace Black.
Says, or La Ace Black.
however the you want to go. The Punisher and Deadpool.
Aren't they both Marvel, though?
They are.
So that's not really
so Ace Black, you fail.
Yeah, you fail Ace.
Ace Black, you fail. Yeah.
Epic fail.
Because I saw that and I'm thinking, wait, they're both Marvel, right? And then I'm like,
it didn't occur to me until just now. Yeah, you're right. They are.
Yeah.
Okay, but, he says Punisher and Batman. Okay, I can actually kind of see that one because they're both, they both lost their families. They're both working towards a kind of the same goal. Ooh, so I can kind of see that one.
That gives me another one. Blade and Batman. Isn't Blade technically Marvel?
Yes, Blade is.
Yeah.
Marvel.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool because I think. I don't know.
It's Batman. It's a bat. Vampire.
That's why it would be interesting. But I guess we'll let this slide, Ace. But you know, if we were anybody, if it was any other time, and we were anybody else, it would totally be a fail.
If there wasn't a chat,
card would be
fix yourself right away.
Punched, yes. Your geek card is saved for now.
All right, Polka Cookie. He says the Avengers team with the Green Lantern and Batman, all trying to take down the Marvel villains led by Lex Luthor. I don't know.
I don't know about Lex Luthor leading.
Yeah. You know?
Maybe like Brainiac.
Brainiac.
I think Lex Luthor could do it, but he's so much about himself. But I think that would be a good play on him, though, because he would find a way to make it about him or to do something for his profit or for his gain, you know.
True. I could also see Darkseid. I could also see him leading.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting.
Or Apocalypse.
Yeah. Other feedback?
Forget Fool. Iron Man and Batman. Both really smart billionaires who don't have any special powers, just tech brains and training.
That would be crazy if they shared ideas.
That would be...
Yeah,
Batman would probably be like, wait.
The Iron Bat.
You're in a suit that makes you do all that? Dang, I've just been swinging on this little cable that I shoot from a little gun.
Tony, stick to the shadows.
I need a drink.
Wow, that would be awesome.
Cut the rocket boosters off.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Jeeves, where's Alfred?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be pretty cool.
All right. Dark DJ. He also says Iron Man, Batman, Justice League Avengers, or Justice League and X-Men. Then he says Mystique versus Clayface. I don't know where the verses came in, but...
Yeah, it's team up.
Yeah, it's team up.
But there's a versus in there.
Yeah, I know.
So that means they fight.
Huh. We'll just switch it to team up.
Yeah, because wasn't the verses like another question? Like,
yes, that was a
few weeks back.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. Mystique teaming up with Clayface. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be interesting. Is that it for...
Nope, we got two more.
Oh, alrighty.
Nemesis Prime 117. This guy's a comic book fan because I have no idea what he's talking about. He says the Black Lanterns and Marvel zombies versus the rest of the DC universe as White Lanterns. Hmm. I didn't know there was Black and White Lanterns.
I had no idea of that either.
I just thought there was white and green. Or not white, yellow and green.
White and green. I didn't know there was white. I just thought there was white. But, wow. Yeah. I never even thought about the Marvel zombies. That would be interesting.
I can't really see them teaming up with anybody, though, except themselves.
Yeah, really. Huh. Awesome.
All right, one more.
One more?
Final? DeShane Vox, Green Lantern, and Phoenix.
That would be pretty cool, I would think.
That'd be nice.
Never would have thought about that one, honestly.
No, I never would have thought that one either.
Although the fire on Phoenix does shimmer yellow, so I don't see how that would work out. Sorry. Another Green Lantern weakness joke. Sorry.
It's all right. Interesting.
But I think it'd be cool because of the fact that he can, I guess... create some things where she could kind of, I guess, heat it up or whatever. But Phoenix is already so powerful as she is in herself. So I just don't understand why she would even need him.
Yeah,
she probably wind up being her boy toy or something. Make me a massage parlor. Oh no, you don't want to make it? Well, I'm gonna burn you to a crisp.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting. Definitely. This has definitely been something I've thought about a lot before, because of course I'm a geek, and you've got the two universes who are distinct and they've never really crossed over much, and I always wondered what if Batman and Spider-Man or Superman and Spider-Man. Although thinking about it, really, I don't think Superman would really work with anybody.
No.
Really.
Yeah.
Except maybe to fight the Hulk. That's it.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Thor.
Yeah. That'd definitely be interesting. I want to thank everybody for submitting their answers for the Geek Question of the Week. There's various ways to submit it. Twitter, Facebook, Ustream live chat. email, I guess. The voice line, whatever. You can leave an iTunes review with your answer if you even wanted to.
Sure, yeah.
We wouldn't mind, not one bit.
As long as it's a five-star answer.
Definitely. And you can, all the feedback you can find right with the show notes on each of our episode posts on the website, thegeeksftw.com. And, look out for the next Geek Question of the Week and submit your answer, and you'll hear it on the show for sure. And just make sure you listen to the question and don't fail like certain people almost did.
Yeah.
But unless you're listening to the live show and you can correct that mistake, I guess with that, and also you can, if you're listening to the live show, you also get our special, you also get to hear our bonus content, which we've already recorded. We record at the beginning. And if you can't make it and you have an Android app, feel free to pick it up. It's only $1.99, and we have, you know, there's tons of we put out pretty good length bonus content, or at least I think it's pretty good length. And, you know, just that's the best way to support us, really, that or leave feedback, you know, just let us know how we're doing and give us your inputs. I guess with that, we can do shout outs. I guess, Henry, shout outs.
Yeah, man. I'd like to give a shout out to Devious Mr. Matt. We played Uncharted 2 with Ace Black. Shout out to him. Shout out to Blue Man. But me, Ace, and Devious Mr. Matt, we played Uncharted 2. And let me tell you, that co-op is fun, man. I mean, the co-op is fun. It's great. We played. That was my second time ever even playing the co-op mode. But that co-op mode is actually fun. So shout out to those guys. Shout out to all the routers at the Geek Stark, DJ Elf. You know, shout out just to everybody who supports us on Twitter. Shout out to Anthony Alex of the Angry Mailman Podcast. Shout out to Scarfinger, Scoba, Sherry, Big Pimp, and everybody that we associate with within the community. Hey, shout out to the world once again. That's it.
Alrighty, Stuart, shout out.
All right. Shout out to the writers, Nox, Elf, Dark DJ, Cookie. Shout out to Swipe, because I just downloaded Swipe and I got into the beta, and it's awesome.
Well, it's not like it's hard. You just sign up and you get into it.
Yeah, but it's awesome. I don't know why I didn't do this when I first got the phone.
I could have sworn I suggested it to you.
but it's really fun to do long words, though.
Oh, definitely. And like I've said before to many people, when I tell them about it, the world record for fastest texting it was used with Swipe. I mean, you can, once you get the hang of it, you can just, you know, text crazy fast.
Yeah, I'm still working up to my regular speed, but I'm almost there.
Yeah. And once you get so used to it, you'll just, you know, if you try using the regular keyboard, you'll just want to, you know, you'll just want to move your finger, try swiping, and you're like, oh crap, it doesn't work. Because I've had that where I've had to reset my phone for some reason, or I flash a new ROM on it to try something out, and I'm like, oh crap, I don't have swipe. but alrighty. Other shout-outs? I kind of interrupted you.
Yeah, my future Connects party with U-Star 2, and maybe some live streaming going on there. So look out for that.
Alrighty. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Alrighty. I guess shout-outs for me, I've got a few. Vic Joe. Shout outs to him. He commented us. You know, he left us a comment on the our last podcast post. And
oh yeah, shout out to Big Joe
not our last podcast post, but our new project, We Are Geeks, which basically I said before on the intro. And if you haven't heard it, give it a listen, because it gives everyone on who's a part of the Geeks for the Win their own one topic segment to talk about whatever they want
or three
but I'll cut it out and to keep it fair, and you know, basically it's 5 to 10 minutes, you know, 10 minutes max, to talk about whatever they want. And you know, I know a lot of people were joking, surprise, surprise. And I even made that joke myself, at least for me, you know, about Android, talking about Android on my last topic. And no, I will not talk about it on the next one. I've got something way better.
I will not talk about Legend of the Seeker either. Maybe the Sword of Truth, but yeah.
And I will not talk about Halo.
okay. definitely. Off topic, I'm just surprised, Henry. You've never suggested. What was it? The Halo, the animated thing on Netflix.
It just. I mean, as much as I love it, I can sit up and watch it, but I don't want to put anybody through that. I won't say torture, but like I said, of the seven shorts that are part of the only ones that are good to me are the two origin stories. And I think by now, I think everybody has seen them, so I don't want to bore anybody with them, you know. So, plus I like Netflix new stuff, or sometimes, you know, going back to a bunch of the old stuff like we did with Zap. So even that stuff is fun. You know what? Shout out to Microsoft, man. Shout out to Microsoft for giving me another 160 points through their rewards program, and also for marking a ton load of stuff down on discount this week.
Yeah, link in the show notes. What else? Shout outs to Scooter Prime, because he also left us a comment, and he's part of the Ramble On podcast.
Huh.
And I checked out their live show, and they had some interesting topics, and I was chatting throughout the whole thing, adding my two cents, and they would stop and read it, and they were joking that I was like a guest host basically through through chatting, because I was just dropping geek knowledge bombs on them and stuff like that. But so I guess check out their latest one. I can't remember what episode it is, but I've always meant to give them a listen, and now I'm subscribed to them. So. Ramble On podcast. So check them out. Who else? You know, the writers, of course. And our co-hosts on We Are Geeks, technically. What else? Shout outs to everyone who was in the chat. I think it was Dark DJ, Ace Black, Scooter Prime, Fadios. I think
Fadios
he came
for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, just to tell us to shout him out, and we did. So there you go. Your dream has come true, Fadios.
Mission accomplished.
What else? Shout outs to T-Mobile, because now I sell T-Mobile phones officially.
And I said this I tweeted this to Poetic. You know, now we can't get on him about being an Android fanboy. Now we can just get on to him about doing his job.
Yeah, because
right.
Because I'm just doing my job now. I've totally switched, and call me a hypocrite, I guess, now since I work for them, but go T-Mobile. Basically, if you follow me on Twitter, you're a longtime listener, you'll get that joke. And I guess with that, this has been episode 40 of the Geeks for the Win podcast. We will see you next time, and remember to check out We Are Geeks.
That's right. We are now over the hill. Woo!